bottom.
We'll start Bezer Hashem, Dalet Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. If you remember, we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Where do we learn out? What is the source for learning out the din of Prisha? That the Kohen Gadol has to be separated for 7 days prior to Yom HaKippurim. And Rabbi Yochanan learned it out from the Miluim, just as we find that Aaron HaKohen had to be separated 7 days before the Miluim, before his starting the Avodah on the Vayi Bayim HaShmini, the 8th day, which was the first time that Aaron HaKohen was serving the Beis HaMikdash. So too, we have an extra lima to tell us also that you need 7 days for Yom HaKippurim, prior to Yom HaKippurim, and also 7 days prior to the burning of the Parah, that kind who goes to burn the ash of the Parah Aduma. And then Rabbi Yesh Lakish had a different makor, he had a different source, and that was from Sinai, just as there had to be separation for Moshe Rabbeinu 7 days before Har Sinai, before receiving the Torah, before going up. Last time we discussed exactly what dates they were. Was it from the first of Sivan to the sixth, or was it really from the sixth to the 12th of Sivan? Okay. Now, part of the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, there was a kasha that was asked. There was a question that was asked from Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, and that question went as follows. We're going to get that in a moment. But the Gemara wants to say, Mechlal, we're 6 lines up from the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. Mechlal de Tarvayu Sviralu. It would seem that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are of the opinion that Miluim, that during the 7 days of Miluim, during the 7 days of preparation for the inauguration of the Avodah and the Mishkan, Kol HaKosav Bohen Ma'akev Bohen. Whatever it says in the Torah that had to be done, if it's not done, it would invalidate the Avodah. All 7 days of the Miluim, whatever had to be done, we're going to discuss certain things. If you're missing one of those ingredients that the Torah says specifically that has to be done, it would seem everybody agrees that it would invalidate the Avodah. Now, this happens to be a machlokes. The Itmar, because it was stated the following machlokes, Miluim, a halacha concerning Miluim, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. They had a disagreement. Chad Omar once said, Kol HaKosav Bohen Ma'akev Bohen. Anything that it says concerning the Miluim is Ma'akev, meaning that if you don't have it, it invalidates the Avodah during that time. But the other one was the opinion that davar ma'akev l'dayrois ma'akev b'hen, something that would be an impediment, meaning that it would invalidate the avodah down the road for all future generations. Every time they would bring karbonos, if it would be ma'akev over there, if it would invalidate the avodah, then it would invalidate it by the miluim as well. But anything that was not going to be ma'akev later on in generations, it means even if you didn't have it at some time later on in the Beis HaMikdash, if you were missing this part, or you didn't do this ingredient, or you didn't wear this beged, if that doesn't invalidate the Avodah, then back by the Miluim it wouldn't invalidate it either. So as this, the Miluim looked up by itself and everything is ma'akev, anything that's missing is invalidates it, or is it only things that down the road of future generations, if it would invalidate it then it would invalidate it by the Miluim.
What does ma'akev mean?
Yeah, the word ma'akev means it impedes it. And it's an impediment for making the thing valid or not. So it would be ma'akev, meaning to say that if you're missing it, it would invalidate it. So this is a machlokes. So the Gemara says, again, v'chadam, the second imidovra ma'akev l'doris is ma'akev bohen, but she'ain ma'akev l'doris, if it will not invalidate the avodah l'doris for future generations when you do the karbon, ain ma'akev bohen, it will not invalidate the avodah during the miluim if you're missing one of those things. Testayim, let us try to bring a proof that the Rabbi Yochanan who the Omar, it's Rabbi Yochanan who is of the opinion that says, kol ha'kosav bohen ma'akev bohen. Whatever is written by the Miluim is going to invalidate it if you don't have it. It's ma'akev. it must be there, and if you don't have it, it won't validate it. In other words, it's not dependent on future times, but whatever is written by the Miluim must be kept to, or else it will invalidate it. What's the proof? When Rabbi Shimon ben Lachish was asking to Rabbi Yechanan and saying, you want to learn out that you need 7 days of Prisha for the Kohen Gadol before you make Kibur from Miluim, so then I would tell you, you would have to agree that just like by the Miluim, everything that it says in the Miluim must be kept, or otherwise it will have invalidated. And he wanted to say then, and therefore by Yom Kippurim it should be the same. If you remember this is Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Beis, right around the same area we are now, but maybe 10 lines from the bottom. Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, if you're learning out from Miluim, he ma Miluim kol akasim ma'akbem af hachanami. So by Yom Kippurim also, everything that has to be by Yom Kippurim should invalidate it if you don't have it. For example, and his one example was Prisha for 7 days. Do you need Prisha for 7 days by the Miluim? Yep. Yes. Do you need Prisha before Yom Kippurim? Yes. What if you didn't have the Prisha? What if the Kohen Gadol did not separate himself for 7 days? Is he still fit for the Avodah of Yom Kippurim?
No.
So Rabbi Yehoshua wanted to say, well, if you're learning from Miluim, just like Miluim, everything has to be kept, so too by Yom Kippurim.
So what does the Kohen Gadol
carry
on
him? So the Gemara there then said, we see that actually the Prisha on Yom Kippurim is not Ma'akev. And you see, even if you didn't have 7 days of seclusion, still the Kohen Gadol is fit for the Avod. What's the proof? Like David is saying. Because what happens if the Kohen Gadol has to be switched because something happened to him, he became puzzle, you take the backup. Now the backup did not have 7 days of separation, and that we'll see in the Gemara today as well. However, what we wanted, what the Gemara ends off is like this. Rabbi Reish Lakish says to me, Ma'amiluim kol akasim ma'akabahen, look, everything Ma'amiluim is ma'akev. If you don't have it, it invalidates it. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer anything back. It seems like he agreed with that. I do agree, whatever it says Ma'amiluim must be, otherwise it invalidates the Avodah. To stayim, this indeed is a good proof. A question.
Yeah. On the Miluim, actually not just Kohen Gadol was the Prisha, all the Kohanim, he and his sons was a...
Yeah, that's all there was then, just Aaron and his sons.
It's not just specific for Kohen Gadol, it was for all the Kohanim to be 7 days in a Prisha.
Yeah, but it was the only one we learned it from was Aaron. Because since Aaron was going to do the one who was doing the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, it was only important for him that had to be separated.
So that's also in Mut. Because that was for all the Kohanim, they had to be in Rishut because it was the first time that the Mishkan became holy.
So that was a special din for that, but that's not the Limud. The Limud we learn out is that just like Aaron had it for 7 days, the Pasuk says in Aaron only. Aaron, you have to stay away for seven days. La'asois
l'chaper. We know also the sun was because he said, in Amikdash,
no, but that's only a Kohen Gadol. Not a whole group of Kohanim, only the Kohen Gadol. That's the only one. It says over there, Kasher osa b'yayim hazeh, tziva Hashem la'aseis l'chaper aleichem. As you did on that day, meaning only Aaron HaKohen. So we have a proof, this is Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Now the Gemara asks like this, last two words on that Dalon HaBeis, my b'nayu, what is the practical difference? Where is the halachic difference between the opinion of holds, which is Rabbi Yochanan, that anything that it says by the Miluim must be kept to, otherwise it invalidates the Avodah, as opposed to the other opinion that no, if something that for future generations it would invalidate it, meaning it's such a key ingredient that if you don't have it, invalidates the Avodah, then indeed by the Miluim also would invalidate it. But if you look at it for future generations and you find a certain halacha that if you miss this halacha and b'diyevet it's still a kosher Avodah, it does not invalidate the Avodah, then by the Miluim also it wouldn't invalidate it. So what would be the difference? Find me an example that for future generations, it's not going to be an impediment. It means it will not invalidate the Avodah, and therefore by Milum it also wouldn't have been invalidated. But yet if you hold that everything is invalidated, if you're missing by the Milum, Kol HaKosaben, it would invalidate it. So could you think of any examples? Ah, very good. That's one example. The Gemara on Nehemiah Aleph is going to give four examples. Four examples. Rabbi Yossi, Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, and Ravina.
Each one has opinion different.
And each one, and we'll see, Tzizion points out that they're not arguing, they're just each giving different examples. Again, just to keep in mind, the examples are, these are examples that even if you don't have it by sometime in the Beis HaMikdash, you're bringing a carbon, you don't have this part of the Avodah, it doesn't invalidate the Avodah. So therefore the opinion who disagrees with Rabbi Eichner would say that even by the Miluim, if he didn't have it by the Miluim, it also would not invalidate the Avodah. Rabbi Eichner would say, we don't look at future generations. Everything that's by, that says by the Miluim, you must have. So what's the first Afkimina? Rabbi Yosef says, Smicha ikebeinayu. To lean on the animal, to lean on the carbon prior to shechting it, that would be a good example of a difference between the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and that of Rabbi Chanina. Why? Lamanda amar kol hakosaben ma'akva b'hen, that anything that it says by the miluim is going to be ma'akev and it would invalidate it, smicha ma'akva also. If you didn't do smicha during the days of the miluim, if you didn't do smicha, it would invalidate the avodah. However, l'man dama dover shein ma'akev l'doyres, ein ma'akev bohen, anything that's not going to invalidate it for future generations, it's not going to invalidate it by the miluim. Smicha loy ma'akva, smicha, leaning on the animal, with a person's whole weight leaning on that animal before shechting it, that would not be ma'akif. How do we know that? How do we know if a person brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash? He has to bring a carbon chatos. Yeah. Right? And he has to lean on the animal before they shecht. How do we know that if he doesn't lean on it, it's still a kosher carbon? How do we know? Says the Gemara. Uladoyres minolan l'loy ma'akva. How do we know that for future generations it's not ma'akiv if you don't have smicha, it's still kosher? The sanya, because we learned in a braisa. It says the following pasuk. V'somach yodoy al roish. What does it say? I think it says v'somach yodoy al roish ha'soir v'nirtzoloy l'chaper olov. Okay? So what do we learn from here? It says v'samach, you have to lean, put you on the head of the goat. V'nirtza, and it will be an appeasement. V'nirtza sounds like, oh, and you'll have an atonement. V'chismicha mechaperes, is the act of leaning, is that what gives the atonement for the person? V'aloyen kapara elabadam. The kapara comes by the zrika, by the sprinkling of the blood. In other words, the blood of the animal goes in place of the blood of the person. Shenamaz, the pasuk says, "Ki hadam hu banefesh yichaper," is the dam, which is the life of the animal, yichaper. That's what gives the atonement. So then, if so, matam aleimer v'samach v'nirtza. So why does the pasuk seem to indicate that somehow smicha has to do with kapara? Shemasal l'smicha shiyari mitzvah. That if a person made smicha, he made out of smicha shiyari mitzvah, in other words, that his attitude towards smicha was that of something just as an ancillary part, a secondary part of the avodah. The Torah considers it that you don't have a kapara, but the kipper, but you have a kapara. That's very strange. You have a kapara, you don't have a kapara. Meaning to say, the taste is Yishana, the way he explains it, has two ways of explaining it. Meaning to say like this, Hashem is not happy with the person. This is the way I wanted it done. Right? Another, like a parent gives has a request from a child. Right? He doesn't do it the exact way. Right? But it was done. So the parent says, okay, it's done, it's done. But am I happy? Am I satisfied? You did it the right way? No. So Hashem says, you did it. You brought the carbon, you sprinkled the blood, but did you do it in the optimal way? Did you do it like a tchila? No. So the pasuk is saying, v'somach v'nirtza, meaning to say, that even though I want smicha by every carbon, I want you to lean by every carbon, if you didn't do it v'nirtza, I'm still going to accept it. Meaning, it's not the best way, but I'll take it. We're going to see in the next nafkamina, the next example, we're going to see a little bit more about what this means. Shiori mitzvah. You considered it not a main part of the mitzvah. Okay. So smicha is the first example that smicha is not ma'akiv l'dairis, meaning even if you didn't do smicha on a carbon, it's still a kosher carbon. So according to the second opinion of Rabbi Hanina, by the milul also, if you didn't do smicha, it's still valid. As opposed to Rabbi Yechanan, if you didn't do smicha by the miluim, it invalidates it.
What about the Yom Kippurim when Kohen Gadol did to smicha on Sir Lazer? If he didn't do it, would it be valid or not valid?
That's we're talking about Yom Kippur. Here only things we're talking about Miluim. Yeah, but that would be the same halacha. Yeah, I think it would be valid also.
Yeah, you know, also valid?
Yeah.
Even
this is for all smicha. All smicha is not ma'akiv.
Except the Miluim.
Except maybe, but well, according to Rabbi Yechanan, by Miluim. According to Rabbi Hanina, even by Miluim, not. Why? Because you see, by Deiris is not. All for all future generations, it's not ma'akiv. What's another one? Another example? Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Tenufa Ikebeinayu. Another example of difference would be Tenufa. Tenufa is you wave a carbon. Okay? You wave it up and down, back and forth. Ikebeinayu. Lamanda Omar Kola Kosa Ben Ma'akev Ben. According to Rabbi Yechanan, that anything that it states by the Miluim is going to be Ma'akev, will invalidate if you don't have it. Ma'akev? So this too is Ma'akev. You didn't do Tenufa, you didn't wave the by a carbon or any carbon that needed Tenufa, like carbon Mincha, had to be waved, then it will be Ma'akev. Well, Lamanda Omar Dovish Ein Ma'akev L'Doyreis Ein Ma'akev Behen. Something that's not going to be Ma'akev future generations will not be Ma'akev by the Miluim. Over here it also will not be ma'akev. Now, how do we know tenufa is not such an essential ingredient that even if you don't have it, it will not invalidate it? Oh, the deiris minol and le ma'akva for future generation. How do you know it's not ma'akev? The sanyet, because we learned in a beraisa. It says in the pasuk le tenufa le chaper. What does the pasuk say? Let's get the whole pasuk here. It says a person who has to bring a carbon and he can't afford an animal, so he brings him dalu and yodem asek, he can't afford an animal. A bull. The loka keves echad oshem lesnufa lechaper. So he takes a sheep, a less expensive animal, lesnufa lechaper. He takes it to wave to be a kapara. Same question. Is it the waving that gives him kapara? What gives kapara to the person? The zrika, like we just said before. Says the Gemara, v'chi tnufa mechaperes. Is the waving the one thing that's mechaper? V'aloi ein kapara elo b'dam. The dam is the thing that's mechaper. Shnemer ki adam u b'nefesh yechaper. Same pasuk we were before. Oma tam eloimah. So why does the pasuk put those two words juxtaposed together? L'tnufa lechaper. The tnufa gives the kapara as if indicating that. Shemasa l'tnufa. Shiyore mitzveh ma alal of a kosev kilo lekiper vekiper. Same thing. Hashem's, it's not the best. I'm not so happy, but it's a kapara. Let me just read you what the Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah, daf lamed zayin amid beis. Anybody know what else? What other things besides a carbon we do waving with? Omer atnufa. What else? Arba minim. So there's a Mishnah in Sukkah. That was a giveaway. It's in Sukkah. Yeah. They wave the lulav, the dalad minim. And the Gemara says what this does is actually another thing you wave is the shtei alechem coming up to Shavuos soon. The shtei alechem you wave those also. The two breads you bring on Shavuos.
They shake the
coin,
the
lulav. They levim. They do the levim. Yeah, they did tenufa on them too. But here is of heinav akoyim oisim alechem. You wave the breads, and the Gemara says you meilech umevi back and forth lemisha har baruchay shaloi. To one who is in control of all the winds, and malo umayr, you pick it up and down to indicate the one who shemayim va'aretz is him. And what does this do? This protects us from all bad winds, and this protects us from all bad moisture, all bad dews that would come down. This little avodah of waving protects us. How it works, we don't know exactly, but the Torah says to wave, and the Chazal understood that the waving protects us, has protection, special protective shield from bad winds and bad dew. Fine. Says the Gemara like this. Zoy Semeris, you see from here, I'm reading Gemara in Sukkah, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Shiyarei Mitzvah, even things that are only secondary to the Mitzvah, Ma'ak V'nes HaParonios. You see, they have the power to ward off calamities. Sherei Tenufa Shiyarei Mitzvah. The waving is only sort of a secondary part of the whole Avodah, and yet V'Oitzeres Ruchais U'Tulolam Roim. You see what Koyach it has to prevent these bad tragedies from happening. V'yomarav v'chem b'luluv. The same thing by luluv. Luluv is the same thing. No, but luluv also has that power, because luluv, chag asukis, is the chag about mayim, and that also we wave in all directions to show we're waving to the one who's in control of the winds, control of the mayim, and we wanted to have a bracha on that. So Rashi says over here, Rashi quotes our Gemara in Yuma, Daf Hei. When he says, you see that this is called Shiarei Mitzvah. Even though he didn't do a Mitzvah Mena Muvchar, it's not Ma'akev. But look what you missed out on. Look what a person misses out on if he didn't do these things. So there's a Shaila. The Sefer Choshukei Chemin has a Shaila. So how much do you have to spend to get your own Lulav and Esrik? I mean, we know, technically, if my friend has a lulav and esrog, I could just use his. You know, and I ask him, give it to me properly, and he gives it to me as a matana, to give it back to him on the first day, and I make the bracha, right? What am I missing out on? When won't I have it for?
First day.
No, I'll take the first day, I'll shake it and give it back to him.
They have one for the whole town.
Yeah, they didn't have it. So I'm saying, nowadays it's available. How much do you have to spend on it? Well, what are you missing out? If you don't have it, what are you missing out on? By Hallel, you won't have it for the Nanuim. You'll make the brach on it there, yes, but you won't have it for the Nanuim. What is the Nanuim? Shiyari Mitzvah. So the answer is, it depends how much a person takes to heart this Gemara. Shiyari Mitzvah have a power to ward off punishments from a person, or from the world also. So, how much you had to spend, there's no value in it. The person, if he feels that he has such a great segula for the waving of the lulav, then he'll spend money to get his own lulav. Okay, now let's continue along Daf Hei Amud Aleph in Yuma. We're up to now the third Nafkamina. We had Rabbi Yosef says Smicha, Rav Nachman said Tenufa, and now we have Rav Papa says Prisha. You get the simon so far? The Cheshek Shlomo says a simon. Samach, Samach. Yosef says Smicha. Nachman says Tenufa. And our Rav Papa says Prisha. And the fourth will be Ravina says Ribuy. Just makes it easier for us to remember.
So
yeah.
Does Rabbi Yochanan hold that if you don't do the Tenufa by the it's invalid.
Invalid is the whole Avodah. That's right. But we're going now with the opinion that says, but if you hold it, it's only if it's going to be Ma'akev for future generation. So a third opinion now, a third Nafkamina rather, is Rapap Amar, Precious Shiva Ikebeinayu. Another Nafkamina meaning the separation of the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur for 7 days. Laman Damar Kol HaKosav Ben Ma'akev and Ma'akva. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that whatever it says in the Parsha Miluim, if you don't have it, it invalidates it. This too would invalidate it. If the Kohen Gadol did not separate for 7 days, he can't serve on the Yom Kippurim. Anything that's not going to be ma'akev a few generation, a ma'akev a man, here too lay ma'akev. And again, the Gemara asks the same question. How do we know that for all future generations, it's not ma'akev? That means even if the Kohen Gadol did not separate for 7 days, it's still going to be, he's allowed to serve on Yom Kippurim. Because mi dekatonim nis maskinin, the Mishnah said, what are the things we do? We are maskinin loy kohen acher. We set aside another kohen in case the first kohen gadol becomes invalidated, he becomes pasul, he becomes tamei. It doesn't say that they separate him, it's just that they set him up. If he also needed to be separated for 7 days. So in case he's going to be called to duty, he should have to have separation for 7 days. From here we see that the separation of a Kohen Gadol for 7 days prior to Yom HaKippurim is not ma'akev. It will not make him invalid to do the service. So that's the third nafkamina. We now come to the fourth nafkamina, and that is Ravina. Ravina Omar, Riboy Shiva Umashicha Shiva Ikabeinayu. What is this? This is an interesting halacha that I think many people are not aware of. If you want to become a Kohen Gadol, you're now a regular, ordinary Kohen. You're a Kohen Hedyot. What do you have to do to become a Kohen Gadol? Aside for the fact to be worthy of being chosen. But what's the process that you have to go through? So the Torah tells us that for Aaron and his sons, what you have to do is you have to wear the big day Kohen Gadol. And as instead of the 4 begadim, you have to wear the 8 begadim, the Shemayna begadim, for 7 days straight. And each of the 7 days, we'll see exactly the process the Rambam tells us, and each of the 7 days, you have to be anointed with the special Shemen HaMishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made, with that anointed on the person's head and between the eyebrows. And it drips down on the person to his beard. That's the procedure. For 7 days, you have wearing this 8 begadim and being anointed once a day with the Shemen HaMishka. That's what you got to do. Now what happens if a Kohen, who is becoming a Kohen Gadol, did not have 7 days of wearing the begadim, or did not have 7 days of Shemen HaMishka poured on him? Could he still be a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara here is going to tell us it's not Ma'akev. How do we see? Lamado Markola Kosaban Ma'akaban, anything that it says that by the Milum you have to have Ma'akva here too is Ma'akiv, that's Rabbi Nashita. But Lamando Amar Dover Shain Ma'akiv Ladeiris, Ain Ma'akiv Bahan, Loi Ma'akva here will not be Ma'akiv. If you didn't have 7 days of wearing the begadim, if you didn't have 7 days of being anointed, he's still kosher Kohen Gadol. Ulladeiris Minolan Loi Ma'akva, how do you know it doesn't invalidate him? How do you know this is not something that's Ma'akiv? The Tanya, because we have an Ebraisa that tells us like this. It says v'chiper hakoyen asher yimshach oisoi v'asher yimale es yodoi lechahin tachas aviv. There are two things in this pasuk. Asher yimshach oisoi, that's the oil, the mashicha, anointment. V'asher yimale es yodoi. Now what does yimale es yodoi mean? You fill up his hands? No. So Rashi tells us yimale es yodoi actually means putting on the clothing. Dressing him in these clothing, that's what Yamali Es Yodai. So the Kohen who wears the clothing and is anointed, Lechain Tachas Aviv, he will be now in place of his father, meaning in the case of Aaron HaKohen, place of Aaron HaKohen, to be the Kohen Gadol. Ma Tamun Lemer, why do I have to tell us this Pasuk? You know, what is this Pasuk teaching me? Rashi explains. In other words, I already know. Rashi says, already know that for 7 days the Kohen has to wear these all these begadim. Right? So why do I have an extra pasuk that you need anointment and you need the wearing a big day kohuna? Says the Gemara, L'fish ne'emar shivas yomim yilboshem ha'kohen tachtal mibonov, that actually for 7 days you have to put on the begadim for the Kohen on his sons. Ein li'ela nisra b'shiva v'nimshach shiva. That I only know if he had the extra begadim for 7 days and he had the anointment for 7 days. What if nisra b'shiva, he had the extra clothing for 7 days, but v'nimshach yom echad, the oil only was 1 day, or nisraba yom echad, he only wore the extra clothing for 1 day, v'nimshach shiva, but he had the oil for 7 days. Minayin, how do I know he's still a valid Kohen Gadol? Tamud loyma asher yimshach oisoi v'asher yimali es yodoi mikomokin. That extra puzzle that he was anointed, he was dressed, even one time. So as one time is ma'akiv, the Kohen Gadol at least 1 day had to put on the extra begadim before he started serving as a Kohen Gadol, and one anointment of Shemen HaMishka he needed to have. L'chatchila, how many times do you need it?
Seven
days straight. If you didn't have it, you're okay.
1 day is enough.
Okay. This is what the Gemara says. Now, we have to keep cheshbon now. Okay, we're gonna go off a little bit on a tangent, just to explain a few things over here, and really they're connected with one another. And the first thing is as follows. We have four nafkaminis. We have four cases that seem not to be ma'akev l'dayres. Smicha, if you didn't lean, it's still kosher. You didn't wave it, it's still kosher. You didn't have the Kohen Gadol separating for 7 days before Yom Kippurim, he's still a valid Kohen Gadol. And if you didn't have the Kohen Gadol wearing it for 7 days and anointment for 7 days, only one day, it's enough. Tosfos asks, I can find you another nafkaminis. Taisa says, Shirayim is Ma'akva. Taisa Shem says, is another Nafkamina. And there seems to be other examples that if you didn't have that as one of the ingredients of a carbon of the Abayda, it's not Ma'akiv. So Taisa answers why those examples were not given. The top Taisa, Smicha. Smicha and Ibnai. Tamely, Amayla, Kaman, Ami, Shirayim, Ma'akva, Ibnayu. And Taisa wants to give his own terrace, then he quotes the Yerushalmi. We're not going to go through the Taisa right now. But the Shagas Aryeh, we quoted the Shagas Aryeh before, and the Sefer Gvuras Ari says, 1 second, I have another nafkamina. I have a terrific nafkamina. Something that if you don't have it during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, it's still an okay and an avoida. What is that? And therefore we should go back to the case by the Miluim also won't be ma'akib. What is that? The Urim V'Tumim. Why? Because everybody knows, so Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph from the Beis, that there were five things that were missing in the second Beis Hamikdash that they had in the first Beis Hamikdash. And one of them is the Urim V'Tumim. So says the Gvura Sari, so they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim in the second Beis Hamikdash, right? Did they do the Avodah then?
Yeah.
They obviously did the Avodah, right? So it must be that having the Urim V'Tumim is not Ma'akev for the Avodah. Yeah? The problem is the Gemara doesn't list this as one of the nafkaminas, right? Why not? So here, if you look, you go to the Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, where the Gemara lists the five things they didn't have. We have a very interesting machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, which is the same machlokes between the Rambam and the Raivad. When it says that they were missing the Urim V'Tumim, look at Tosfos Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. If you have those Gemaras 21b, there's two Tosfos in the second one, the bottom Tosfos Urim V'Tumim. Says Tosfos Urim V'Tumim Havu. They had the Urim V'Tumim in the Bayis Sheni. Sheim Loi Kain. Because if you didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, Haya Kohen Gadol Mechusa Bigodim, then the Kohen Gadol would be serving as a Kohen Gadol with lacking the proper clothing. And that invalidates the Kohen Gadol right there. So to say, of course they had the Urim V'Tumim. But what does it mean that in their second base, I mean, they lack the Urim V'Tumim? Ella.
Yeah, AT&T covers.
Ella Lehayu Meshivin Linishalim Behen. They lacked the special powers that the Urim V'Tumim have. The actual Urim V'Tumim, we'll explain what that is, that they had. But what it means they were missing it, is they didn't have it to be able to ask and get answered from the Urim V'Tumim. That's what Rashi learns, they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim at all.
Oh, they mentioned in many places the five missing, the Luchot HaBrit,
we're going to see there's a whole list over there. Good question. Let me just read you here the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Hilchos Beis HaMikdash, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. And very quickly he describes what the Kodesh HaKadoshim looked like. There was a stone, and that they put the Arayin, that they also put the Tzinsenes HaMon, the jug of Mon, and the staff of Aaron. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew he had a Ruach HaKodesh, that it was going to be destroyed, and therefore he made a special tunnel underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he instructed future generations, and Yoshio HaMelech, a descendant of his, before the Beis HaMikdash actually destroyed, he took many of these kalim and he hid them underground through that special tunnel. Yeah. The Nignas Imayin was hidden, the Arayin, and the Mate Aaron, the staff, the Tzinsenes, the jug, the Shemen HaMishcha, all hidden away. When Mashiach comes, he will uncover it. V'chol elu, this was in the first Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. V'chol elu loichadru b'bayi sheni. Therefore, they didn't have this in the second Beis Hamikdash. They didn't have Shemene Mishka, didn't have the Arayin, didn't have it in the second Beis Hamikdash. V'af urim v'tumim. Shehayu b'bayi sheni, loichayu meshivim b'ruach ha-kodesh v'loheyu neshalim behen. What is the Rambam saying?
Like
Tosfos. Like they had the Urim V'Tumim, but they just couldn't ask it because it wouldn't give them the answer. That's Adamoy Kohen Gadol. Why did they need it, says the Rambam? The only reason you needed the Urim V'Tumim in order they shouldn't be lacking the 8 Begadim. Mamish like Tosfos Shita. Says the Raivad. He says, what do you mean? V'alei, look at the list in the Gemara. Urim v'tumim, v'ruach ha-kodesh, ashnei dvarim hei, menach hamisha. It's five things that are listed over there. One is urim v'tumim, and another one is ruach ha-kodesh. So ruach ha-kodesh is the asking and getting answered. That's something separate and independent from urim v'tumim, says the Raivad. According to him, it's only one thing, and therefore the list is not really five. V'chisir begodim shomer ein eklum she'enoy mechesh ben habegodim. He lacking begodim? He says, where does it say in the Torah that part of the 8 begodim are the Urim V'Tumim? Urim V'Tumim? Oh, what are the 8 begodim? The Chayshen is one of the begodim. And it says, what do you put into the Chayshen? Oh, you put a little piece of paper. That's how most Rishonim learned. Rashi, the Ramban, well, the Ritva later. You take a little piece of paper, a cloth, parchment, you write the Shem HaMafarish, and you insert it into the fold of the Chayshen, you insert that. But it's not one of the begodim. That's how Rashi understands. You're not Mechus of begodim. He'll learn like the Raivad. Rambam, the Achrayim explain what the Rambam and Tosfos hold is that since the Urim V'Tumim is an integral part of the Chayshen, when it says you have to make a Chayshen, let's say you make a Chayshen and three stones are missing, or you make a Chayshen and half of it is falling off, right? That's not a valid Chayshen. So the Rambam understands that a Chayshen, an integral part of the Chayshen, is having the Urim V'Tumim inserted in there. And therefore, if you have a Chayshen that's not a proper Chayshen, that's Mechus HaBegodim. So here, there's the Machlokes between the Rambam.
They say the Rambam holds that you need an operating Urim
V'Tumim. So he agrees you don't need operating. You have to have it, the ingredients that you have for the Chayshin. You have the Chayshin with the Urim V'Tumim inserted, that's it. Even though it's not operational, because they weren't Zeichel in that second in the Bayis Sheni, it's still Nama. You're not Mechus HaBegodim. But if you have it, then you're not Mechus HaBegodim. It's fine. So that's how he learns. So getting back to the Shagas Aryeh's question, why don't we list the Urim V'Tumim as an ingredient they didn't have, that he is not Ma'akev? So he says this will be a good proof to the Tosfos and Rambam Shita that actually Urim V'Tumim would be Ma'akev. Because if you're lacking Urim V'Tumim, what are you lacking? You're lacking the Begodim. You don't have full 8 Begodim. It can't be valid. Fine. Let's get to one more thing, a very interesting thing here as well. When the Kohen Gadol was becoming a Kohen Gadol, he was a regular Kohen Hedyot, and he was becoming a Kohen Gadol, right? For 7 days he would wear the big day Kohen Gadol. Yeah? During those 7 days, could he do Avodah or not? Now let's read. He's not a Kohen Gadol yet, till after the 7 days. But during the 7 days, yeah, is he allowed to do the regular Avodah or not?
No, that's the point of law. He can do regular Kohen, but not from the law.
No, he can't do a Kohen Gadol. Could he do the Kohen Hedyot's work? Is he allowed to do that?
I would say not.
Why not?
Because he's supposed to be concentrating
again,
ready for the day.
So, what better concentration? I'm actually doing Avodah, I'm being mekabel the dam, I'm sprinkling the dam. He's in between, all right, but he's not yet a Kohen Gadol, so why can't he do the regular work Kohen Hedyot? I mean, he can't be worse than... A Kohen Gadol does everything that a Kohen Hedyot does, just as he wears more begodim, right? Except on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur does a lot of extra things.
There's that process of becoming Kohen Gadol. Therefore, if you're doing the Avodah of Kohen Hedyot, you're not making a distinction to say that
Well, he's not a Kohen Gadol yet. Let me ask you like this. There's a bar mitzvah boy, yeah? He's practicing for his laning. Right? Practicing. I'm saying, is he bar mitzvah yet?
No.
No. So could he do things that like non-bar mitzvah kids do?
Yeah, right.
Because he's not a Kohen Gadol yet, this guy. He's not a Kohen Gadol yet, so why can't he do those 7 days? Let him do regular work of a Kohen Gadol. So this is a machlokes between...
What does it spend the Lord has during the year except you
people? Nothing.
So what is doing during Kohen Gadol?
Kohen Gadol, if he wants, he could do the Avodah.
Only if he wants.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have any special...
Right.
During the year.
That's right.
No special...
Yeah, so let's listen because we're winding down here. Says the Rambam like this. He explains in Perek Dalid Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel of Hilchas Klei Hamikdash V'Oivdim Bay. He explains how a Kohen Gadol becomes a Kohen Gadol. 7 days straight of extra begodim, 7 days straight of Shamanim Mishcha. Ketzad Mar Benoisim Begodim. How do you put extra clothing? Loivei Shmeine Begodim. You put on the 8 begodim. Upoishdon. And you take them off. The Chayz of Eloi Shalomacha. And then you put it on tomorrow and take it off again. Shivas Yomim Yoyim Achayim. Day after day, 7 days straight. V'im avad, and if he does avoda kodem she yisraba bebegodim kol shiva, before he has 7 days of begodim or 7 days of shemen amishcha, if he did it at least once, then you're okay. Like we learned in Agamara, one time is ma'akiv. Sounds like from the Rambam that before 7 days of having the extra begodim, could he do the avoda? He says, but the Yevid, if you did it, it's okay. But lachatchila, are you allowed to do the Avoida?
No.
You have to have 7 days. So during those 7 days, the Rambam says you don't believe it. Says the Raivad, what's the problem? What's the problem? When do you need the 7 days, says the Raivad? That's for Yom HaKippurim. That's a special day for your Kohen Gadol. For that, you need 7 days. But for a regular day, begodim. What's the problem? Let him wear the 8 begodim. Let him do the regular avoda. Why can he do that? That's what the Ravid asks. Okay? So, comes along Reb Chaim Soloveitchik in the Kisvei Agrach and says, 1 second, what's the difference between Yom HaKippurim and every other day? You know, what's the pshat in this Ravid? The Ravid wants to make a distinction. On Yom HaKippurim, I understand you need 7 days. But for any other day, what's the problem? Why can't the Kohen Gadol do the Avodah with wearing the eight begodim? So he says like this, that during the year, any other time, you don't need a Kohen Gadol, so he's viewed as a regular Kohen Hedit. The problem is, just like we said before, if a Kohen is lacking the begodim he's supposed to be wearing, or the Kohen Gadol is lacking the 8th begodim, it invalidates the same halacha is that if a Kohen Gadol is wearing extra begodim, it also invalidates it. For example, let's say a Kohen is cold one day, so he comes to the Beis HaMikdash with an extra t-shirt underneath his ksenis, yeah? Right, or he puts on socks one day because he's cold. So he invalidates the avoda that he does. Why? Because he's wearing extra. It's called the yitur begodim. You have extra begodim. Extra begodim is the same invalidation as lacking begodim. So the question here is, what happens if you have a regular kohen who's instead of wearing 4 begodim is wearing 8 begodim? Where do you have that? This Kohen Gadol, who's in transition to become... So Reb Chaim says that the Chiddush of the Ravad is that since this Kohen Gadol is allowed to wear the Begodim because he's in the middle of practicing to become a Kohen Gadol, that's not an invalidation of having extra Begodim. That's the Ravad's Chiddush, that during the year it's okay that he has 8 Begodim. Why? Because for these 7 days he's allowed to. The Rambam, we could say, holds not like that. The Rambam says, this is a problem. He can't be a regular Kohen. Why? Because he's wearing 8 begodim. A regular Kohen's not wearing 8 begodim. He can't wear the Shemini begodim. So he's invalidated automatically for these 7 days. Now, after the first day, he's already okay. He's already really a full-fledged Kohen Gadol. But lechatchila, to be a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, you need 7 days. So before that, what are you considered? Yitur begodim. The Ravid held that since he's allowed to wear it and he's a regular Kohen, we don't consider it yitur begodim. We don't consider it wearing extra begodim. The only time the Ravid says that you can't do the avoda and you need the 7, that's for avoda Yom Kippur. Why? Because there you need a Kohen Gadol for doing the rest of the year, any kohen suffices. So he's a regular kohen who has the permission to wear extra begodim today. But for Yom HaKippurim, indeed, there you need a dafka, a kohen gadol, and therefore he has to have all 7 days before he does the avodah. So this is another nafkamina within these nafkaminas of the Gemara here. Okay, we'll stop here.